Okay, so we're going to have our reading now before Chris comes up to speak to us. And it's no surprise that part of the reading is going to be from 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, and then we're going to go back a few chapters in 1 Corinthians to chapter 1 and read verses 18 and to 31 from chapter 1. We'll start off with 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Then on to chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world, through its wisdom did not know him, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demanded miraculous signs and Greeks looked for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than a man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than a man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Chris is going to come up, but before we do, before he does, shall we pray for him? Lord, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for his gifts of teaching and of wisdom and of knowledge, and we pray that through what he's going to say to us this morning, that he may impart those gifts and use them for the furtherance of your church and teach us knowledge and wisdom of you. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. You're doing really well juggling two important jobs today. So, and Andy does a lot of the tech stuff every week, and normally he's out of sight. So today he's trying to do that and lead the service, which is a remarkable task. So thank you for doing that. Obviously, based on 1 Corinthians 13, we're still following that theme of love. And I think most people would agree that love is important. Most would probably agree that it's the most important thing. But we may have different opinions about what love is. What does it actually mean to be loving? We might have our own deceptions or misunderstandings of what love actually is. Jesus called us to love as he has loved us, and he set an example. But I'm not the Son of God, neither are you. And therefore, the example that Jesus set doesn't always apply directly to us. We don't go and die on a cross for other people's sins. You know, there are differences between the way Jesus loved us and the way he calls us to love others. The New Testament writers used a word to describe that love, the love that Jesus had. It was agape. Some of you will have come across that. If you've been in the Christian circles for some time, you will have come across the word agape. For those who heard it, it was new. It was a word that was hardly ever used in everyday Greek language. Not used outside the New Testament. They didn't really have a use for the word. Because it described a sort of love that it's not normal. It's not usual. And therefore, the writers of the New Testament had to explain it. They had to define, what do we mean when we say agape? What does that mean? So that they could understand it. There was an Old Testament word. Just in case you think the New Testament God was different to the Old Testament. No, in the Old Testament the word was hesed. Hesed, which speaks about God's completely unmerited and undeserved faithfulness and love in his covenant. So that word hesed was the Old Testament word. And both relate to God, don't they? God's agape, God's hesed. So they try and define what this word means. John, for example, says, this is agape. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In this series, we've been focusing on Paul's definition in 1 Corinthians 13 from verses 4 to 8. And he's already declared how essential, central is love to the Christian way of life. And now he needs to be clear about what love means. Because otherwise people will argue that they are being loving when actually they're not being loving. So 2 weeks ago we heard about love being patient and kind. And we saw those attributes in God, that God is patient and kind. And especially in Jesus, we see that worked out in Jesus' life. We discussed in our small group whether there was a connection between being patient and kind. I know I'm less kind when I lose my patience. So I think there is a connection between those things. I think there is also a connection between the things we're going to think about today. We're going to look at two more properties of agape love as defined by the Apostle Paul. We're told love does not boast, it does not envy, and it is not proud. And I think they're linked. So envy is an unhealthy resentment about what others have. A feeling that what they have makes them better than us. So we can hold somebody in high esteem without envy. We can aspire to more without envy. Part of Paul's most excellent way is that we eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. So he's not saying that we shouldn't desire what he calls the most important gifts, like prophecy, but he forbids envy. So this aspiration, this desire for more, becomes envy when we feel that others have something that we deserve. They have something and we deserve that. Why don't we have it? Boasting is an unhealthy belief that what we have makes us better than others. We can, of course, rejoice in what God gives us through his grace without claiming that we deserve it. Now, Paul mentions boasting 10 times in this letter and 22 times in his second letter to the Corinthians. They clearly had issues. One of our readings came from the very beginning of the letter, so he's there straight away in the first chapter. We heard that he reminded them of the basis of their salvation. He pointed them again, didn't he, to the fact that they were saved through grace. It was God's free gift. And he concluded, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is based on Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. I wanted you to hear the longer quote, because often when Paul refers to a passage, he's got the whole passage in mind. So this is what it says. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast in their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So you can see how that fits into that whole argument that Paul was bringing about wisdom and being influential and all of those things, and saying don't boast in those things, but rather boast in the Lord. And the understanding of that is that they're going to boast that they know how kind, just and righteous God is. So the two things in particular that Paul challenged with regard to boasting. Boasting about leaders, especially those who claim to be more important than Paul, and about the supernatural gifts that God had given them. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, he says this, no more boasting about human leaders. That's fairly clear, isn't it? So, what these people were coming in was, they were coming in saying they were more spiritual than Paul, that they'd achieved more than Paul, that they were from a better background than Paul, that they had a better education than Paul. And Paul said, well, this is rubbish. That doesn't make you better, because you've got people that think that they are superior. We need to stop boasting about leaders, he says. And then the second response was 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Perfectly clear, isn't it? You know, he's saying that everything that we have as Christians is given to us by grace. Doesn't make us better than anybody that's not in here this morning. Doesn't make us better than those that are not Christians. Everything that we have, we've received from God. One Corinthians 5 and verse 6, Paul writes, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? So the concept that Paul's playing with here is around the Passover and the leaven, the idea of the leaven being a symbol of sin. So during the Passover meal, they search the house, don't they? And they remove every bit of yeast, the leaven, from the house. Because if there's even a tiny bit, it doesn't just stay as a tiny bit, it spreads through the whole batch. So what he's saying is when one person starts boasting and it's accepted that that's okay within the church, it spreads through the whole body so that you get that puffing up like the bread puffs up. So there's pride that puffs up a fellowship because they start thinking it's okay to boast. So he challenges that. And the particular thing that he was challenging them over was that they were boasting about how loving they were because they weren't challenging sexual immorality. There was sexual immorality going on in the fellowship. And rather than saying, this isn't right, you shouldn't be living like this, they said, how loving we are to allow this to happen and to not bring any judgment or any rebuke, but just to let it happen. And Paul says, no. That's not loving. It's not loving to allow immorality to continue without challenge. A little earlier in the passage, chapter 13 and verse 3, Paul has said this, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So again, you know, he's using that word around boasting to think about if you do something sacrificial, but your motivation is to look good in front of other people, so you can say, look, you know, I fasted for 24 hours before this service so that it would go really well. Well, that wasn't really to the Lord's glory. It was so that you could tell people. You know, that wasn't the right motivation. So he challenges that too. He says, this sort of sacrifice isn't love. So pride lies behind both envy and boasting. Envy comes from injured pride. Think about that. Our pride is injured because we think somebody else has something we deserve. And boasting comes from inflated pride. So we think that what we've got, we deserve, and therefore that makes us better. So envy and boasting both arise from a misunderstanding of the basis of our worth. Paul makes clear that our worth is to be found in God's love for us and not in comparisons with others. Agape love always wants the best for others, doesn't it? If we're motivated by envy, boasting or pride, then we're not being loving. And that means nothing else that we do is of any value. I want to apply that into our lives as 21st century Christians. At the most basic level, it means that if we're motivated by envy, boasting or pride, then we're not being loving. And that means nothing else we do is of any value. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul particularly has in mind spiritual gifts, those supernatural spiritual gifts. And understanding agape love means that we won't envy those supernatural gifts that others have got, or boast about those which God's given to us. Of course, we can eagerly desire those gifts, but that's not the same thing as envy. If we're humble enough, then we won't be too proud to use the spiritual gifts that God's given to us. Sometimes that happens, that people receive a gift from God, but they don't want to use it, either because they don't think they need it, or they feel that maybe they can do without it, that others can do without it. But no, if God's given you that gift, he's given it to you because the church needs it. Nor will we be too proud to allow others to use their gifts for us, believing we don't need them. We won't allow the unmerited gifts that God's given to us to lead us to boasting or being proud about ourselves, as if we'd done something to deserve his gifts. So that's sort of like the most obvious surface application of what Paul's been saying. But I think we can go further than that. Wherever there is envy, boasting and self-centered pride, that's an indication that we've lost the grip on grace. We've lost that understanding of what grace is about. We were saved by the unmerited forgiveness of God, reconciled by the undeserved mercy of God. God adopts us and sends Holy Spirit to all who ask. We've got no grounds to boast, as if these things were based on our righteousness, or as if we had anything we've not received as a gift. However things may appear to those who judge by outward appearance, God is not unjust. He does not show favoritism. He is the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness, Jeremiah told us. So envy challenges God's justice. It says it's not fair. What God's done is not fair. Boasting denies God's grace. It says what I've got, I deserve. So most of you are probably sitting there feeling quite chuffed with yourself, because you're not envying, boasting. You're quite right, Chris. We don't want any of that in our church life. Spot on. And you'd love to go home at this point, I'm sure. But here's my warning. You need to beware. These things don't come in like the Sweeney smacking the door down and coming in and saying, NYPD up against the wall. The envy and boasting sneak in under the radar. They are things we know aren't right, And they made us creep in ways that we don't immediately see. You're very unlikely to be saying to yourself, I envy your gifts, or I am better than you because I have this gift from God. But Scripture says that our hearts are deceptive above all things. So these questions are intended not to make you feel guilty, but just to unearth if that envy and boasting is actually there, hiding under the surface. So, I want you to reflect on these for yourself, not thinking about, yes, that absolutely, that person over there is just like this. This is for you to reflect. So do you look at others as having better gifts than those which God has offered to you? It's okay to think, I would love to have that gift of prophecy. I'd love to have that gift of evangelism. But those gifts are on offer to you. We can ask. Have you started to think of your spiritual gifts as your abilities? I speak to myself as a preacher, worship leaders, perhaps others that serve in different ways, whether it's administration or hospitality. Have you started to think that you're just really good at this? Or something that you don't really need. You don't really need those spiritual gifts. They were important when you were a young Christian, but now you're mature, you no longer need spiritual gifts. You can do it without. Have you stopped using your spiritual gifts because you think they are less important than other people's? Every gift that the Spirit gives is important. It's there to be used and shared for the body of Christ. Have you started to believe that your gifts are more important or significant than other people? Have you started to believe that your gifts make you more important or significant than other people? You wouldn't say that outright, would you? But perhaps you think, well, they're an idiot. They're spiritually immature. They don't really know what they're talking about. That can be a sign that maybe you're thinking of yourself as being more important because of the gifts that God's given to you. What about more broadly? Do you envy what others have? Do you boast in how much better you've done in life than others? Do you feel hard done by? Like what God's given to you isn't what you deserve. Easy for those things to slip in, isn't it? Easy for them to come in and for us to start to believe those things that the enemy whispers to us. I want to suggest an antidote for us today is to come to focus again on the cross and to remember we are saved by grace. Paul does boast. He boasts about the Corinthians to others. He says what an amazing thing that God's doing amongst them. He speaks well of them. And he boasts about his weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." So recognizing our weakness, our failings, and boasting about that, because that is where God can work then by his supernatural gifts. So here's my three responses, all starting with R. I'm Baptist through and through. So we refocus on the cross, we remember what we've received, and we rejoice in weakness. So refocusing on the cross, that puts a sword through all boasting. We remember what we've received, recognizing that it's not from our own goodness, but God's gift. and then rejoicing in our weakness, knowing that even when we're weak, and particularly when we're weak, God's strength and power is seen in us. I want us to pray before we move on. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank and praise you that you, through the cross, put an end to every delusion of what love is. And in you, we begin to see what agape love is, undeserved, unmerited, poured out on those who are your enemies. As a fellowship, Lord, we pray that you would sweep out every trace of boasting and envy from us. Every feeling that somebody else has got a job that should be ours, or a title that should be ours, or a gift that should be ours. Every feeling that we're inferior because we've not been given this or told this or whatever it is. Lord, we just pray by your Holy Spirit, breathe through us and blow those things away. We want love to be at the heart of this fellowship, Lord. We all come on that level ground before the cross, knowing that each of us is saved by grace and equally loved by you. We thank you that you establish that love in us and through us. Amen.